Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Babe. I am your host, Lara, and with me today is Nori Reed.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for being here.
Literally a pleasure. You have a beautiful, gorgeous home.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to be chatting with you today. We met at Ed's house.
Yes.
Friend of the pod, Edward Drosty.
Yeah.
Candle aficionado.
A night to remember.
Yeah, a night to remember.
Yeah.
You were introduced to... Did you, learn a lot about candles that night?
Yeah. I also just want to back up and say, it was very, Knives Out kind of a night. It was so funny. I feel like I literally did not know anyone. So, I was invited by Blythe,
mm-hmm.
who... Excuse me, I have a cough.
It's okay.
I'm so sorry. It's
how very dare you.
I know.
You violated the first rule
for podcasting.
For podcasting.
You cannot have a cough. But someone
never cough.
Did tell me that there is a fetish.
For coughing?
Yeah. There's porn.
Like coughing in your face?
Just women coughing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really?
Absolutely. So
just sitting and coughing.
Yeah. So if any of your listeners are into that.
I'm going to go on FetLife and reactivate my account and then just start posting coughing videos.
Honey, rent's due.
Can you just be fully clothed and cough it up?
I think it's literally about the cough.
Yeah. Are there different kinds? Some people want you to hack.
Oh, it's very exaggerated. It's exaggerated.
Like a hacking almost choking. Along.
Yeah.
Where have you seen this porn?
I'm...
Is this on porn? This
doing?
Is a whole new... I'm really fascinated because I have not... I mean, obviously, there's porn for everything.
Absolutely. If you can think it,
there's porn. But, tell me about the coughing porn.
You know, I should not have sold myself as an expert. I'm hooking up with this guy, and I was like, I have this cough, and he was telling me that, that there is a fetish for this.
You can monetize quickly.
Yeah, so I'll give him a text. I'll figure out...
Okay.
All the deets.
I need readers also, if you've seen coughing porn or have any intel, to link me ASAP.
Yeah. And if you, and my Venmo is Nori Reed.
Yeah.
So just if, you know,
yeah,
if this works for you.
Hey, comedy is tragedy plus time. So make this cough work for you.
Absolutely. I'm so sorry for diverging. The dinner was so funny.
It was funny.
Funny.
I didn't
night.
Realize. I guess. Yeah, you did walk into just cold, not a cold room in terms of company, but just not knowing anyone.
It was so funny because I moved to LA about 2 months ago,
mm-hmm.
and I was navigating, trying to make friends. And my friend Blythe was come over to Ed's house. She was staying with Ed, and when I got there, unbeknownst to me, she had taken an edible.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Yeah, which I did not know. So she pretty much immediately went into a room and passed out. So my one anchor was immediately
Goodbye.
Gone.
Yeah.
But I'm strong.
You
and
are.
I'm brave.
Yeah.
And made some friends.
You held your own.
Yeah.
And it all worked out for the best.
My favorite thing about that night was how spicy the stew was.
Yeah. Ed made some really spicy chicken soup that was I think across the board, everyone agreed it was too spicy.
Too spicy.
It was painfully, hurtfully spicy.
Spicy.
Vengefully spicy.
And finally, I don't know who it was, if it was Simon or whoever, was just told him. And he's I have no regrets. He's this is what I intended and wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what sticks in my mind.
He spiced
so
everyone
funny.
Out.
Yeah.
You got to watch out. You never know what you're going to get.
Never know. Yeah. Spicy, spicy.
So you live in LA now.
Yeah.
You're a fresh Angeleno.
Oh my God.
You're 2 months in.
Fresh baby.
You're living on the east side.
Yes. Finally, thank God, got a place in Highland Park. It's been such a journey to get housing.
Did you, what was the approach that you took? You get
Craigslist.
$10 Venmo to you immediately.
I know. So if you really like that cough,
that was a
please.
Light one. And then
that was a light one.
We can get crazier later on
if the
cash starts flowing in.
I'm escalating this if you escalate this. So drop some coins, please. It was insane. I moved into a sublet, which I had not seen
mm-hmm.
when I got here.
Wow. Ballsy.
It was psychotic. Everything broken.
Yeah.
Everything. And the person who owned the place, she was like in complete delusion about that everything was broken. So if I brought something up, she'd be like, oh, that doesn't work. Like the oven. She was like, yeah, it just doesn't work. And I was like, oh,
that's part of the charm.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. then I couldn't get mail. And she's like, honey, like we don't get mail here.
I love. So I was, it's like just a cave.
It was a cave that was $1,000 a month. It's been a very funny journey to find like a place, but ferrets.
She had ferrets?
Different place.
Oh, this ferrets. Was a roommate with ferrets?
Yeah. So I was like going on Craigslist looking for to get a room.
I love a safe place to a really safe place to look.
Nothing like looking for housing on Craigslist to meet the like fringe people of our society. Like truly the most crazy people. Like one person, God, I hope they don't listen to podcasts. This one person, huge cockroach problem. And I was like, well, maybe you should like fix it. Or like, what are you talking? She's like, oh no, the ferrets. And I was like, I'm sorry. What? She goes, their little lungs can't handle
this fumes.
And the fumes. So we're living with the cockroaches.
That's not like, no, you don't have to live like that.
No.
There are plenty of options to deal with a cockroach that don't involve like a fume in your house.
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately, if you do fume, you can just remove the ferrets for like an afternoon.
Yeah.
I had my first interaction. One of my first interactions of 2020 was finding a cockroach under my sink.
Oh, God.
And it was a brutal way to kick off the new decade.
I mean, they are the ultimate survivors.
They are.
So what if it was a sign of your strength?
And, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm choosing to just like accept it. Yeah. I didn't really do a whole lot about it because I had a huge stack of paper bags from like Whole Foods or whatever mm-hmm. and like Trader Joe's that just piled up under the sink that I was like, someday they'll be useful.
They give us comfort.
Yeah. And it's like nice to have them there.
Yeah.
But then I really woke up one day and I was like, you know what? It's not very nice to have them there anymore. And I was like, I'm going to just put them in the recycling bin call it a day. And as I moved them out, a massive cockroach like slithered out of them and then just like disappeared into my kitchen cabinets. And I screamed so loud.
Oh my God.
Because I've never seen a live one in the apartment. I've just seen like in the 4 years I've lived here, three dead ones.
Yeah.
And so then I screamed. My dog came like running up, but he didn't really do anything.
Useless.
And then dogs. I was like, I guess I just have like a new roommate that I'm living with.
Yeah, you better pay rent.
Yeah.
Like if you live here.
And so I put like the little, I got like some of those poisonous traps that like they infect them and then they go infect the family. And cleaned out that
some very really diabolical like insect warfare.
I know. And I'm like, I'm not afraid to get like crazy with it. But I was also like with the dog, you can't really spray there.
Yeah.
You have to really take some precautions.
The ferrets.
But then I was like, is this going to work? I really did like a light cockroach bin and I'm just praying that he like goes to find somewhere else to live.
I know.
Now that I've taken away his like safety zone of paper bags, which if you have paper bags in your house, you should move them because cockroaches they apparently love that shit.
Yeah. I just like love that you did like a war crime like against this cockroach family. Yeah.
Then I got I looked on Amazon and found out what like the highest rated natural like bug killer was
like goop
and it was very expensive. It was like $25 for like a bot like a spray bottle of I think it's just like mint and rosemary oil in water and then I've sprayed it around, but it really hasn't done a whole lot.
I mean, that sounds sounds like it smells delicious. It
smells great.
It smells amazing.
It smells minty fresh, but in like a fresh like organic way.
Yeah.
But it claimed to like really take on silverfish too, because I have a lot of those in this apartment.
The more like romantic cockroach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I've now normalized so much against silverfish. I'm just like, oh, another one, as I see them like almost every day.
Yeah.
So that hasn't really slowed down. So I'm just wondering, like, but anyways, you lived in a cockroach
Well, no, I
tell me about your cockroach experience.
Well, see, like, I was looking for places, so yeah. This was just one option, was this cockroach apartment. This was
one that you visited.
I visited, and then
visible cockroaches
and visible ferrets, just two ferrets to just roam the house. So psychotic. And then I looked at another place.
How visible were the roaches? Like, you were like, they were there. On the wall, there's... That's insane.
Yeah.
I wonder who ended up living there and was like, I love it.
Yeah. It's a tough road out there. People will live in denial. But that was insane. I looked at another place, and it was like a brother and sister, which already is... That's weird. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Like, two adult, like brother. Adult,
yeah.
That already feels a little incestuous, weird, right?
Yeah.
But they were convincing me, because it was a railroad style apartment where one bedroom just leads to the next bedroom. You have to go outside and around the house to go to use the bathroom.
Oh.
And they're like, and of course you would not have access to the kitchen. I was like, why? What? And they're like, well, because, you know, like, your room's like the biggest one, so like you don't get a kitchen. We use it. Like, our brother and sister, like, we use it.
So you would just be renting a room and a bathroom.
She literally was like, I'll show you where to get a hot plate. She was like, I know the best place.
Question, is the bathroom shared?
Yeah.
This is arbitrary. This is like, they're fucking in that kitchen. They don't want you to see.
That is a brother-sister fuck kitchen, and we all know it.
We all know the truth.
We know what's happening, and I left. And then I almost moved in with two 21-year-olds, which I'm 31, and that would have been a nightmare.
Yeah.
But when I told them no, they offered it, and I said, I'm sorry, I'm too old. She was like, no. She was, I'm dating a 57-year-old. She was like, age is nothing but a number, baby. And I was like, honey, that was like the most 21-year-old thing you could have said.
Yeah.
Which proves to me I cannot live there.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I found a spot. So anyways.
You persevered.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Do you live alone? Do you have roommates?
One roommate. Right now, I'm staying with my friend who has Amazon money.
Mm-hmm.
Like
worked at Amazon?
She works at Amazon.
Chic.
She has a lot of money. So okay. I'm staying in her extra room.
Love.
While I'm in transition. But it's just really, it's been hilarious to go out. $5.
Yeah, $5.
To go out in the world and look at these deranged places and then come back to this like gorgeous, glamorous, like... apartment. It's just so funny.
Yeah, to like see what is actually out there.
Yeah, it like maybe makes me want to work for Amazon if I could.
Yeah, I'm yeah. like the right thing for anyone that works at Amazon to do is like let yeah. people that are yeah. not of the same means as you crash yes. with you for a while.
I think I'm like a tax credit or something. Like I mm-hmm. feel like she gets to write this off on her like problematic taxes or something.
Yeah, she absolutely yeah, should.
100%. She supports the arts.
Yeah, it's like yeah. it's just what you do. If you work at one of the big tech companies like Amazon, yeah. Google, Facebook for sure. Facebook yeah. you need to let a family live with you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like a family from like the Amazon. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like an indigenous.
Yeah, you need to like family. Actually be sending them money.
Yeah.
Or supplies or whatever they need.
Absolutely.
You should fund their entire existence.
Which is why I eat all of my friends' groceries. Yeah. I'm doing as much as I can in that space mm-hmm. for justice.
It's good. It evens yeah. it out. It evens it out
100%.
Somehow. 100%. We reach equilibrium regionally.
Yeah.
<eventually. laughs>
Like literally one day, like after the hot plate thing, I came back to the apartment. And I was like loading the dishwasher and I was like, Sienna, I was like, are these teak like dishes like dishwasher safe? And in that moment, I was like, what is my life? Like I was just told to like where to get a hot plate. And I'm like asking if these like teak if I can put them in the dishwasher.
So when you walk in a house where you have to walk outside to get to your room,
yeah,
does that just mean you never get to go in even like a living room area?
Yeah.
It's just bedroom and then a shared bathroom.
And a fuck kitchen. Don't forget the kitchen.
And then oh, but you see the kitchen.
I didn't get to see, I wasn't allowed to see the kitchen. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh. And then I'm still really hung up on the cockroach element
let's get back to that,
because I'm like, so you would sit down and see, like, where were they? Did you sit down in the...
I saw the carcasses.
Okay.
So on a door.
Oh, so they just had, like, dead roaches.
On a door, they were squished. There were some squished roaches.
And you were like, what are these?
That's, and I was like, hey, I was like, do you, I was like, crazy question. I was like, this is, like, so off. I was like, this is so random. Do you have a cockroach problem? And then they were like, yeah, but like, you know, my ferrets, their little lungs can't handle like, the fumes. Like, that was the end. And I was like, but she's like, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was it. Because again, you get to living with other people, or potentially you get to see their like delusions.
Yeah.
Like, you get to see like that kind of just like, like, they're not really in reality a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I recently sold a vacuum on Craigslist.
Ooh.
And I know it's a really big business deal for me. But I, like, listed my vacuum for $40. And then this girl came over.
I'm curious about why you sold your... Like, why did you sell your vacuum?
Well, on Black Friday, I upgraded my whole vacuum situation to a Dyson.
Yes.
So...
The best.
Yeah. Susie Orman said that that's what she uses. Because she has pets. And it was, like, good for pet hair. And then Black Friday was running, like, a insane Dyson deal.
Yeah.
So I was like, this is happening. I'm channeling Susie and going for it. And then I needed to get rid of my other vacuum. So I was like, I'll put this $2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
we should have done a live podcast where we get like cash pigs to donate live for like every cough.
Every cough. It's like, it's literally asthma. I got sick during the holidays and my little ferret lungs are just recovering.
Yeah.
But it's just like asthma. I'm not
sick.
It's
a long recovery.
Yeah. And I perform so often. It's just so hard to recover because I'm like, just always performing.
Hot water and lemon and...
Literally.
Honey.
Literally. I go to each venue I go to now. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I was like, do you have like tea? And the bartender just like stares at me and they're like, no. Like, they hate it. They absolutely... I try to be cute about it. And they're like,
they don't
want to
make you tea.
Mm-hmm. No.
No.
I'm not boiling water
for you,
bitch.
So this lady comes over who was going to get my vacuum and... I brought it out to her out front because I didn't actually know if it was like a woman or a man because the name was very ambiguous.
Ooh,
and it was like kind of almost British. Like, it was a name like Niles or something, but even more ambiguous than that. And so I didn't want to make any assumptions, but then I also didn't want to get killed. So I was like, I'll just walk the vacuum out to them when they get here.
Yeah.
And then it was this like young lesbian and she's like, oh, can I actually see if it works? And then I was like, oh yeah, duh, of course you would want to make sure of that.
What a smart person. I would not have thought about that.
So I walk with the vacuum all the way back in here, plug it in, demonstrate that it works for her. And then I was like, okay, well, here you go. Here's the vacuum. And then she handed me some like cash. And I didn't think in the moment to count it.
No.
Because I just thought like, okay, she's making sure that I'm not scamming her. Yeah. She's not going to try and scam me. And then she just gave me $30 instead of $40.
Oh my
and then
God.
I was like, do I chase this person down for like the extra 10? I was just like, I just like let it go. And I was like,
That is psychotic.
That was not a good, wasn't a good deal.
What if that's her fetish? Like, this is what she does.
Just shorts people.
She shorts people.
She counts on the fact that you're, like, not going to look at it, which I should have. And in my head, it was like, I thought to myself, you should look at this. But then I was just like, ooh.
And when she's, like, masturbating, she's like, yeah, like.
Yeah, shorted her $10.
Shorted that $10. That $10. Yeah. She, like, touched herself with the $10 that you don't have. Yeah.
Dirty money.
Dirty money.
That's her channel.
Yeah.
Her OnlyFans.
Wait, this is actually, okay, so I'm kind of seeing this guy, and it's because I actually looked at his apartment.
Okay.
And
you met via Craigslist.
Yes.
That's like a romantic comedy.
It's so weird because I have literally never done anything like that in my life. I never have been on Craigslist personals or anything like that. I've only like read the missed connections because they're so great. But yeah, like the room sucked, but like he was cute.
Mm-hmm.
And so after I turned it down, he was like, do you want to like go out? And I was like, yeah. I was like, absolutely.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
How long has it been? It's new, it's fresh.
15 years. I'm just kidding. this was when I first moved here. So like, yeah, we've been hanging out, but we saw Knives Out. That was our first date.
Okay.
We saw Knives Out. It was just such a, cause I hate online dating to me. And I'm sure to everyone mm-hmm. is just like a nightmare.
The worst.
It's a nightmare.
Yeah.
And so I'm always like, I want to like touch the same avocado at Whole Foods, you know what I mean? Like that moment where you're like, oh, sorry. Like,
or something. Yeah.
Yeah. And
then, the meat cute.
Yeah.
And those never happen.
Never. Especially I stand by the avocados.
Yeah.
I wait.
I know. Yeah. I was I've read like dating advice that's just like get as like hot as you possibly can
yes.
every time before you go out of the house and like you never know. And I'm like, that yeah. feels like a lot of energy for something that I truly believe will never happen. Yeah.
I refuse to look good.
If someone looks at me in public,
yeah.
I'm like, stop. Stop. Don't. I would actually walk away from them.
Yeah.
And whenever I even see people that I recognize in Whole Foods, like people I know and could have a friendly interaction with,
yeah.
I like try to actively not strike up a conversation and get away as fast as possible.
That's so real. And the only person that I will flirt with is the cashier.
Oh yeah,
because then it feels safe. They work there.
They have to stay. You can leave.
You can do whatever you want, and then they have trauma. Like they have the trauma. You know, I'm not allowed to go to Whole Foods anymore. Is what I'm trying to say. I've been banned. But no, he was cute. He was so cute.
Yeah,
and it was like it was crazy town.
I love that.
Yeah.
I need to get back on Craigslist in a real way. Like, sell some more stuff.
Start looking at places, even if you are mm-hmm. not looking. You
That's
know what
a
I mean?
Great, actually, a yeah. great tip.
Here's a, every, God, I'm giving so
you
much.
You are,
I'm giving
really,
so much today.
I know. I'm like really expanding great. My business and my earnings over yeah. the next month are going to skyrocket.
The only bad thing is he's a terrible texter.
Like he just doesn't.
He's like, one of those like rare people who truly just doesn't text. Like mm-hmm. he just doesn't. Like his texting window is 11 o'clock at night to 11:30.
Wow,
that's his like window of texting, and then he just doesn't.
Radio silence.
Yeah, and I truly don't think it's like me. I think it's I really do believe that it's just him. Like mm-hmm. his to all of his people.
Did he talk on the phone?
No.
So how do you like arrange things?
In that 30 minutes, mm-hmm. we make plans.
You get a lot in there.
Yeah, we like see each other. We see each other physically, but like not.
Yeah, but not like a checking in throughout the day.
That's weird.
Kind of weird.
I'm gonna keep thinking about it. is this my ferret moment where I'm like, wait, are these my ferrets? I'm like, shit, is this bad?
It's a little ferrety.
It's a little ferrety.
Yeah, and 11 to 11:30. Does he have a day job?
He works a lot.
Okay.
He works a lot and he writes when he's not working. But no, you're right. It's weird.
It's just like slight ferret energy.
This is my ferret.
Maybe a dead roach in the door.
Yeah, that I'm not looking at.
Yeah. I had a dream last night. Speaking of roaches, I think I dream, my stress dreams always have a lot of cockroaches in them. And then last night I dreamt that I was in like a hotel and there were the huge roach problem and the roaches were big, but they would pretend to be dead. But then they would actually, like if you tried to show them to people, they'd pretend to be dead. But then when the people looked away, they would be alive again.
Oh my God.
And I'd be like, oh my God, they're everywhere.
That's so intense.
And then there was a roach that was so big, it appeared to be a pit bull. It was like a pit bull, a roach sized pit bull. I don't know how that even like makes sense.
First of all, that sounds adorable.
It was really, it was muscly.
Yeah.
And it was in the shape of a pit bull, tiny, but a roach.
Oh my God.
At heart. And so it's like two things that I'm not a huge fan of.
I went to school to be a therapist for one semester and then I dropped out. So you could call me a psychologist.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of stuff in there. Mm-hmm. Like a lot.
What are you seeing?
I think I'm seeing there's something about the, like, you think they're dead, but they like come back to life.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of sounds like trauma to me.
Yeah.
Kind of sounds like some PTSD.
Totally.
Like, you think you're gone. You think you're over it. And then it just comes back.
Yeah.
You can't, you know, the ghost from the past.
You're once confronted again.
Yeah. Because I'm a big, like, fan of, like, not to get, okay, like, listen, I know I'm a therapist. I'm a psychologist. So
yeah,
I just know so much. Mm-hmm. One semester.
That's all you need.
Okay. But like Carl Jung or whatever, like his whole thing was like the symbols are, it's whatever the thing is, like whatever it means to you in life is what it represents in the dream.
Okay.
So like if your brother is in the dream, it's not really about your brother, but like what he represents.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like cockroaches are this like symbol of like, you can't kill them.
Yeah.
They're unkillable.
They're everywhere. But,
yeah.
They'll proliferate. They'll do whatever it takes to survive.
Yeah. I think this is about the vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're not over the vacuum.
I'm not, clearly.
I think that's what it is.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, thanks for that.
The one part I can't figure out is the bulldog.
Yeah.
What are your associations with that?
With a pit bull?
Pit bull.
Honestly, some of my neighbors have a pit bull that is freaky. It's scary. It barks a lot.
Yeah.
It hasn't barked as much recently because I think someone in the building complained, but it used to just sit up on their balcony and like bark its ass off.
And by someone, you do mean yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. You did
that. I didn't get that. I got really close to intervening. Like I would do like, I did like an angry white woman thing where I just would stand outside of my front door and just look up there hoping that they would somehow notice me being pissed off without me ever expressing anything.
Are you a Cancer?
No, I'm a Gemini.
Okay. I'm sorry. That was
Does that sound like a real Cancer? That was like Cancer. Thing to
that's
do?
Cancer behavior. I'm so sorry. Yeah.
I was just like, and then like kind of making a big show of opening and closing my door. Then I didn't want to tell on them necessarily because I didn't want to be like a narc. Because I've narked out another dog owner in the building, and then I didn't want to get that reputation.
Exactly.
Going. And so then I thought, I was at Trader Joe's one day, and I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna like buy these guys a bottle of rosé and take it up to their apartment one night and just be like, hey, I'm so sorry to like have to do this.
Wow.
But you really need to like get your dog under control.
Yeah.
Here's drink this wine.
Drink this wine. Think about it.
Think about it.
Yeah.
But also do it.
Yeah.
But this is not like, I'm not angry. This is not a threat, but it could
be. I'm disappointed.
Yeah. And like, but then somehow it resolved itself before I had to do that. So I just drank rosé.
I feel like there's a lot of stuff about home. Like there's a lot of home stuff in that dream.
Mm-hmm.
Like home.
Probably because I'm just here 24/7.
Yeah.
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 Do you work from home?
Right now, yes. I have to get a day job,
mm-hmm.
which truly is tragic.
Yeah.
I'm like not happy about that.
Did you have a day job when you lived in Oakland?
I did. I was a tutor in Marin.
Oh.
Which, hello, Marin moms, terrorists.
They need terrifying tutors.
Like literally the most, it was because you go to their homes. And it's like Parasite, basically. Yeah.
What did you tutor kids in?
Mostly test prep. So like SAT.
Okay.
Any sort of like standardized testing is what I tutored in on the verbal side.
Love that.
And
reading comprehension.
Reading comprehension, writing, vocabulary, grammar, all that kind of stuff. And yeah, it was such a funny experience just like going into these homes and just like being the help.
Yeah.
And like some things that struck out to me were just like they don't have like a cleaner, they have like an army of cleaners.
Mm-hmm.
So I would be tutoring and there would just be like five or six people in like working in unison like to clean like a room.
Yeah.
Which is very like kind of shocking and weird to see.
The team.
It was like a team of cleaner. Like the literally Marin moms have like an army of people that like do everything.
Their staff.
So they can drink and cry and not think about their husbands cheating on them.
Yeah.
And then my favorite part is when the dad would come home and then pretend to be invested in their kid for like 5 to 10 minutes. So it'd be like, yeah, like what's Nancy working on here? And then he would like look at the page and then he would just like go like retire in his room.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like just the
enough
show.
Is enough. Mm-hmm.
Just the
it's
show
for
of
your
caring.
Benefit.
Yeah.
And his benefit to know that he showed you that he cares.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, like little Nancy is really depressed.
Like dead inside.
Yeah. Potentially suicidal.
Absolutely. And that brings up the best part actually, which is that this happened, I would say 9 times out of 10. The parent would pull me aside, the mom specifically, and say, oh, little Nancy, she has anxiety. And the more I would work with Nancy, I keep saying, who's
I
name
love
is
little Nancy.
Nancy. Who the fuck is Nancy? It was more like Peyton or like, there's a lot of like Cadens and.
Yeah.
Let's stick with Nancy.
Nancy is great.
Here's the thing. Nancy does not have anxiety. She's just like. You have anxiety that you are projecting onto your child, and it was just so sad to kind of like see that that these kids were actually fine. It was just all the pressure that the parents are putting on their kids, because some of the kids are so stupid, but they have so much money, so because of the money they're like they're like required to be intelligent.
Yeah.
Whenever, in fact, they're just dumb. Like they're just dumb kids.
Was it a lot of like dum-dums that you had to tutor? Wow.
Lots of dum-dums who, again, just because of their status, that wasn't acceptable, which is probably really frustrating for a kid when you don't give a shit about like any of this stuff.
Yeah.
But because your parents care so much about status, you have to perform.
Mm-hmm. So. Could they perform? Did you get results?
I think just being with the kids, I feel like that relationship is positive for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that just kind of like automatically improves their scores.
Yeah.
But there definitely were some kids who just like, these lessons are expensive.
Yeah.
They're like thousands of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And these kids like were dumb. Like they didn't want to do any, they just were like, I don't care. I don't care about this. I don't give a fuck about any of this. I'm doing this because my parents are like forcing me.
Yeah.
Which also was hard because I grew up very like working class.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I didn't have a tutor. I didn't have any of that shit, you know. And so there was also a part of me that was just like, wow, like you have no idea how privileged. You have no idea what the real world is.
Yeah.
Outside of your bubble.
Like you're getting a lot of shit just given
to
you.
They have no idea like how privileged they are, which was, you know, really interesting. I don't know.
Being coached so that they can make good enough scores to get into some sort of college
that they don't even give
have, like a leg up
which
on.
They don't even give a fuck about or care about.
Mm-hmm.
And this, I was tutoring like right before the whole thing happened.
The college scandal?
Exactly.
So you're kind of seeing it like firsthand.
Yeah.
Did you know like what schools they were expected to go to and apply to?
Yeah, definitely like Ivy League.
Mm-hmm.
Like Berkeley would be like their safe, would be like the safe school.
Lol.
But they're applying to like, you know, the highest of,
How'd you get into tutoring?
I worked a lot in nonprofit before. Literally my job before that was working with people who are homeless.
Okay. You love a real like high low mix.
Listen, if it ain't zero, it's 10. I don't know where this is another ferret moment for me. I'm like, wow.
Well,
you
I imagine
really...
you make more money tutoring kids than you do like
you
working
do.
And aiding homeless people.
I was so burnt out.
Yeah.
And just like the system is so broken and it's just like a band-aid on like a gashing open wound.
Yeah. Cause you were in the Bay Area working.
Yeah.
Okay.
In the Tenderloin, which is like a really challenging area of San Francisco, and working with people who are homeless and just feeling so burnt out every day. And just like, and it really wasn't about the clients. It was about the structure itself was so broken that it was just like very depressing. And
what is the structure?
Yeah. As in like
having, is it, trying to help people suffering from homelessness to get back on their feet and like
yes, but so much of it is performative, so it's kind of like you have these grants that these organizations get and they have the best intentions. It's not like their intentions are bad or anything like that, but if we really truly wanted to solve homelessness, it would take so much more and like real effort, and so much of it is performative.
Mm-hmm.
And so much of it is the city just being like,
feeling good about here's being like
a million dollars, you know, but it doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
If we really, you know, Bernie Sanders 2020, if we really want to change, it'd be like socialism. Like, we need to like redistribute wealth, and like, you know, that is the only way, basically.
Yeah.
Speaking of redistributing wealth, I then was like, okay, fuck this, I can't do this anymore. And so my friend was like, you should apply this.
You're like, socialism is the only way. But anyways, while we're at it, I'm just gonna, since we're living in a capitalist society already, I might as well take full advantage
in conclusion
it.
I worked for over a year with the wealthiest people in the Bay Area. This is so psychotic. I like literally never thought about it this way.
But like,
it's so funny.
It's real. I mean, if you go through a lot of like burnout trying to do something that, you know, feeds your soul, or like, you're helping people. And I think a lot of when you help people, it helps you too. It kind of works both ways. And then you eventually realize that like nothing is set up to actually help any of the people that I wanted to set out helping.
When you realize that nothing you do like means anything in that situation, that's when you kind of just like shut down.
Yeah.
Because you're just like, what's the point? And once you hit that what's the point, there's no turning back, because you were just depressed, like you were demoralized.
Yeah.
And so also what was happening simultaneously is I started doing comedy kind of like seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And so I also just wanted more energy to be able to perform. And so tutoring is so flexible. That was a big part of it too, was I could just like go see clients and fit it around like my comedy stuff.
Yeah.
And then along with that, I also consulted for a hospital in San Francisco who wanted to do more like community health level programming.
Mm-hmm.
So I, consulted them too at the same time.
Nice.
I know. So I have to get a job here in LA now, basically.
Are you going to do, like, what are you trying to do?
Well, the pendulum is swinging back the other way because all the jobs I'm applying to are like social services kind of jobs.
Yeah.
So.
And LA needs it.
Oh, just God.
Just as much, if not more, than.
Absolutely.
Bay Area.
Yeah. If people can walk away with anything from this podcast, I just want them to know that I'm a really good person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so good. I'm the best, most caring.
You're the best. You have a tutor. currently underway that's very sexy and meek if necessary, but I feel like it could get a little stronger if necessary. You have it all going for you.
I'm bougie with a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
I'm for the people. I'm not of the people. That's kind of my brand, I guess. I don't know. Like, if I like hate the rich, and I also like love fancy shit.
You hate the rich, but you also love to just have some money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
It's very confusing when you like hate capitalism and then you also like very much love Diptyque.
Yeah,
it's like, and you like, what do you do?
I don't know. That's a I'm like fully in that.
Yeah,
I'm like, I don't, but also I feel like I've talked to and read a lot about reframing your perceptions of wealth and abundance and hating the rich, while it's like, name one like amazing, like truly good, insanely rich person. TBD.
Oprah?
Yeah.
One.
Oprah could be.
Could, yeah.
But possibly. Then I'm sure, I mean, you can find any sort of takedown of any wealthy person. But it was like, what I was reading most recently was, it's like, it's counterintuitive to like hold a chip on your shoulder and hate rich people, because how are you going to attract a lot of wealth and abundance into your life if you also view that as being like morally wrong and bad?
Absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, we live in capitalism. Yeah. That is what we live in. Mm-hmm. And I feel like to deny that is just like, you know, I mean, it's nice, but it's just not the real world, basically.
Yeah.
But yeah, I absolutely want money. Mm-hmm. 100%.
Because yeah. Also when women have more money, I'm all about like women having more money and just yeah, like
any marginalized group should have power.
Yeah. And when they have more money, they give more back to the community and or their communities or reinvest it in productive ways and help less privileged people on a grander scale than men do when they have money.
Absolutely. I do believe in that.
Yeah. But at the same time, it's like, I love Bernie and I'm for his ideas and I want that too.
I just think like at a certain point of wealth, it truly should be illegal. Like when you have that much, I'm talking about
like a wealth ceiling of like billions.
Yeah. I'm talking like billionaires here.
Like 10 bill could be enough.
That's like,
and then anything beyond the 10 bill,
I think it's morally object. Like it's bad. I feel like it's really bad morals to allow human beings to have that much power. It doesn't make any sense to me that we limit the government power, but we somehow let these like always white men like have that much power in this world. It's just truly makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
I do think there should be a this is getting
political.
Kind of political. And I'm not like, I'm actually like not a very political person. It's just like, I don't know. That's what I believe.
Hey,
that's what I believe, honey.
I love it.
There should be a wealth cap. That's what I feel.
It's just weird that you can like, this is a country that operates truly on, if you have money, you can pretty much get away with and get out of any sort of possible situation. So like you can buy anyone and everything because that's like what capitalism is based off of, essentially, is like,
yeah. And it doesn't sound very democratic to me.
No, it's a system that's at odds with itself.
Absolutely.
I feel like it will shift, hopefully, a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, I think it would be great for everyone to have healthcare.
Wow. Can you imagine?
Can you imagine? But yeah, I don't know.
I know. I'm definitely a socialist, and I really, really want Bernie to win. Mm-hmm. So, like, deep in my soul, I just hope he gets the nomination.
I know.
Yeah.
I keep thinking, and I guess it's like not productive to think that way, but I feel like he's not going to.
Who do you think? Biden?
I don't even know.
I hate that man.
I don't really know. I'm like dipping my toe in the water, but also not keeping up with it like crazy because I don't, like, it's just a lot.
Yeah.
To try and keep track of.
It is too much. But I did love when the New York Times, like, how shady. Like, they were so shady. I love the shade.
So shady to Bernie.
They are so mean.
I'm like, why do you hate him so much? What is the point of,
like, is it anti-Semitism? Like, a part of me wonders that. Like, a part of me is like, is this anti-Semitic? Like, a little bit.
It just feels weird and really weird. Counterproductive.
Yeah.
Like, why would you take down someone whose approval rating is going up, who has, like, a very solid shot at getting a nomination and potentially winning an election? And, like, it doesn't make any sense to try and, like, keep shutting that person out.
Absolutely.
But I think Democrats don't like Bernie because his policies don't really benefit them in the long run.
Absolutely. I mean, we saw in the last election just how much they calculated, like literally behind the scenes, how much they really did not want him to get the nomination.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't know.
And it's like, I think a lot of like high powered Democrats' economic status is very much linked to having someone like Trump in office or like a moderate. And at the end of the day, they don't want to lose that.
That's why I like personally don't identify as like conservative or liberal, because it's, to me, that's just two sides of the same terrible, you know, coin. I don't like whatever metaphor. I just feel like that's not the issue.
It feels limited.
It's about class.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's elitism on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm about like class justice and, you know, which for me is like very intersectional in the way that when we're talking about class, that's about any demographic that doesn't have access, whether it's women or like trans people or people of color or like whatever that demographic is. When you make it about class, it's all encompassing.
Yeah.
Is something I think about. I don't know.
You're like you're a classist, but not in a productive in a way. In the great way.
Yes.
Instead of in the bad way.
Oh God.
I'm for the classes.
I'm for, yes, equality. Oh my God. This is really going off the rails.
No, it's fine. We can get back on track.
My God.
I'm always nervous to talk about politics
because
I feel like it's like I'm not an expert.
Like,
what is the deal with you? People are like, I think there's a stigma, or I'll turn it into my experience. I feel like since I don't read every single thing that's in like the New York Times or the Washington Post or like know every side of everything, that I'm not allowed to like speak a certain truth about or like my experience of politics.
Yeah.
But I also think that that's kind of limiting and stupid because everyone has an opinion.
Absolutely.
And like you should be able to share it. But it really does fire people up. Like, I'm sure that I'll get comments back about, like, whatever.
I know. And I
guess that's fine.
I'm shocked at myself because I'm not that person. I'm not that person at the party that, like, wants to talk about politics. Like, when that happens, I kind of, like, quietly, like, leave the room.
Slink away.
Just, like, kind of, like, roll my
like,
body.
Wait, is that your dog?
Yeah. I just, like, roll on the floor until I'm out of the room. So it's like, this is shocking to me because I truly don't really talk about this at all. I don't know what about today, but I just like very much like, I don't know. I have recently been feeling very kind of just like scared that Bernie will like not get the nomination.
Yeah, I'm a little scared too. And like, I'm feeling kind of disenfranchised by like liberals in general.
Yeah.
Feeling like they care about all the wrong shit.
Yeah.
Like it's so, their passions are very like mismanaged.
Yeah.
And like take away from the main issue, which is like, we need to get a
healthcare
and healthcare and have some major reform instead of like Donald Trump.
Exactly. And again, to me, the key word is elitism. I just feel like there's so much elitism in liberal politics. And that is what lost the election last time, I believe. It's just like that disconnect from America that's outside of like, again, oh my God, I'm going right back into it.
I guess we just have to ride it the fuck out.
Oh my God.
Because I'm thinking now and I'm like, okay, I don't think I have maybe some conservative readers, but not that many. But I really haven't experienced any sort of like blowback or, you know, I'm not going to get like a real hateful comment from like a conservative person being like, shut your damn mouth, snowflake, or like whatever. Like, cause they would just be like, oh, this bitch like doesn't really know what she's talking about. Like, I'll let her just like do her podcast thing, like Love and Light. But then from a lot of like liberals, you get like on this high political horse of like, how dare you? And like, this is actually like why you're so wrong. And like, that's really kind of talking down, like finger wagging.
Yeah.
And I don't think that that's productive.
We live in a bubble. Like if you live in LA, you live in New York, whatever, San Francisco, we are in a bubble. And like, that's not what the country looks like. I'm from Kentucky.
Where in Kentucky?
Literally called Christian County.
Oh my God.
Which is hilarious.
You grew up there?
Yeah.
And how old were you when you left?
I left for college.
Okay.
But I'm literally like writing a sample, like a pilot right now. And my reader was like, Christian County, like that's a little on the nose. And I was like, yeah, that's like literally what it's called. She's like, oh my God. She's like, I thought you just like made that up. Mm-hmm. Grew up extremely in a conservative environment. And it's just like, when I think about those people, like, and what they care about, it's not, I don't know. I just think that, you know, the Democratic Party is definitely very disconnected from a lot of the country.
They're disconnected from a lot of the country and like a lot of their own base.
Yeah.
And it's like highly problematic in terms of trying to get anything done.
Yeah. Should we run for office?
I'm thinking.
What's happening?
Yes.
Like,
I'm thinking absolutely.
We already have a platform. No cockroaches.
Zero cockroaches.
Zero cockroaches.
Number one on the docket is get rid of cockroaches.
Yes.
What good are they doing? None. I think we can all agree.
Yes.
That is what that's how we draw people in and unify.
Yeah.
And galvanize the base and then go from there.
I think that's so universal.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone
that's hates, a world leadership.
Everyone hates cockroaches.
Yeah.
I think that's what's going to bring us together as a people.
We all agree we hate cockroaches.
Yeah, that's our party.
Yeah, and let's just like build from there.
Yeah.
If we can find common ground, we've already won.
I think we're onto something.
What else do we need to tackle?
Well, I think like obviously like a fair trade. Just speaking of a Craigslist experience.
Yeah.
I think fair trade is very like a big part of our platform.
Apparently Donald Trump or the price of diptychs has gone up like $4 to $5 since Donald Trump was in office.
Because of importing taxes?
I guess. And I really feel the need to take a stand against that.
That is so funny.
As you, as a fellow diptych lover, like, I think we have found another place of common ground.
Yes. And with this cough, I think healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
I think
healthcare, absolutely.
Very important.
And like, and also with cough porn, entrepreneurship. Let's not lose sight of small business owners.
That's what America's all about.
Yeah. Let's get back to our capitalistic roots and find unique and interesting ways to make money.
Yeah. And a wealth cap, but like basically like give me the money. Give me the money.
It's up to 10 billion you can have, which I think is very reasonable.
That's enough.
Anything beyond 10 billion
goes to me.
You have to find like a cool artist person.
Yes.
And then you have to give them $1 million.
Oh my God. I love this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I think we have a lot for
since you have so many millions to give away, eventually you'll run out of cool, fun artist people to give it to. And then you can give whatever remainder to super underprivileged community.
Absolutely. Artists first.
Artists first. Because we know that they like that is like a pat on the back for billionaires. Then they can really reach out to the people that they like don't truly care about.
Absolutely, because art changes lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've seen Clueless. That's a piece of art. That's a piece of art.
That changed me.
Changed my life.
Chris Farley changed my life.
Yeah.
Who are your favorite comedians?
Ooh, okay. Oh my God. I'm such an awful person. I literally just want to brag right now.
No, brag.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I'm meeting my heroes.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm not okay.
You're having like, because how long have you been doing comedy for?
I've been doing comedy for 3 years.
Okay. That's a good amount of time to get to like a level. Like, I feel like it's all kind
it's
of like clicking into place. I follow you on Instagram since
Thank
I
you.
Met you and you're like all over the place. You're like Sketchfest.
Yeah.
And
it's been, because like last year I opened for Amy Poehler, which was psychotic.
Chic.
Chic. She found me on YouTube. Love a queen that
Hell
literally
yeah.
just scrolls on YouTube. Opened for her. And then life kind of exploded after that, which was really awesome. But last night, I opened for Kate Berlant, who's like
a queen.
An icon queen. I just opened for Maria Bamford, icon queen.
Major.
And then, yeah, I'm going to be opening for Patty Harrison, who's like, I'm a huge fan.
Yeah.
I'm just like, it's been really, like, I got dinner with Patty recently, and it was like a moment. I was just like, I have like thought about this for years, and it was just like happening in Silver Lake at like a she rest, people like looking at us.
Yeah.
I was just like, this is like, I'm still very surreal to me. I'm still having like, it's still very strange.
You're manifesting.
I think I'm manifesting.
You are.
A little bit.
I love
it. Because like with Kate Berlant, I literally did a show with her. She saw me perform. Oh, I did Whitmer Thomas. He has an HBO show coming out. He's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
He asked me to do his show. Then we were both on that show. She saw me perform, asked me to do her show. So it's just like, it's just been so cool to how it just works out. I don't know, it's just like crazy.
It's like a spider web.
Yes.
The way that it works, like getting jobs and gigs and stuff.
It's networking, and it's so, what the best part of it is, it's no money. It's like, it's just so no money.
You're really passionate about it.
I have never been so like outward, externally successful, like looking and so broke at the like exact same time.
Don't you love how that happens?
It's crazy.
That was like, I wrote two books like 8 years ago or so. And as they were coming out,
congratulations.
Thanks. As they were coming out, it was the same thing where I was like, oh, lots of cool shit's going on.
Yeah.
But I'm also the most unhappy I've ever been.
Yeah.
And in like crippling debt.
It's hilarious that way. And by hilarious, I mean terrifying and sad.
Yeah.
Like this morning I was at a coffee shop, like literally debating like, okay, like should I buy this croissant? Like, can I afford this croissant?
Mm-hmm.
And this guy behind me was like, hey, I'm so sorry, but I saw you at like, and you're like so funny. And like, you're like amazing. And I literally just wanted to be like, will you buy me this croissant? Because a part of me was just like, listen, I like, all I do is work for free. And like, if you like me, will you buy this croissant for me? Like, I almost did it. I didn't, but I almost did.
I think you could pull that off in like a fun way.
Yeah, and I coughed like, in his mouth.
Do you want to buy me this croissant?
I was like, I'll cough on you.
I'll cough right at you.
Yeah, like in you. I'll cough in you. And he was like,
I'll cough into your mouth.
Yeah, or something else. And yeah. he was just like, okay, like I gotta go. But yeah, it's such a weird feeling to be like, wow, like am I gonna make my rent? And then everyone's like, you're so fabulous. And it's like, oh my god.
You're
it's
like,
weird.
Say it in dollar bills.
I know. And I know it will come. I feel like that's what it is. Like,
it's a journey.
There's no money. Yeah. It's just so funny to me because when I first moved here, I was so naive and was just like, believe. And because I had all these generals, I really believe that those like meant something.
Yeah.
Was that
2 months ago when you moved here?
I know. I'm literally.
When I first moved here, I was like,
I'm so mad at you right now. I'm so mad at you. I clocked that too. Don't even worry about it. I'm a ferret person. I'm the ferret. I'm the fucking ferret. Okay. Is that what you wanted? Is that what you want?
Nothing has happened.
I know. I'm psychotic.
But I get it too.
I'm so crazy. That was a cough. I'm so crazy. But, no, basically it's just like, it's been a fast learning experience to learn that just like people say a lot of things like in a general, you are the most important person in the world for an hour. So it's just, I'm glad that I'm learning. I'm glad that like I'm getting just like learning the culture.
Yeah.
I'm learning what the culture is of like industry.
I'm glad that you're out here.
Thank you.
I'm glad that you made the move.
Thank you. Yeah. No, me too.
I'm glad to have you.
Oh my God. Thank you. I mean, me too. It's not like woe is me. I feel like, are you even going to like publish that? Like, I don't know like what I've like put out there in this world, in this podcast, but I sound like a psychotic person.
No, you don't.
Okay.
It's all good.
I'm the ferret.
Should we do some reader mail?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's mix this up.
Did you ever watch The Stair? The Staircase?
No.
It's a true crime documentary. Ooh. On Netflix that's about this husband who is suspected of murdering his wife by pushing her down the stairs.
Who did it, right?
Well, that's the whole thing. I don't think that he did coming away from it,
okay.
But it also is like all signs kind of do point to he did, but then a lot point to that he didn't.
Oh my God.
But in this documentary, there is a lawyer who's representing the murderer who is so hot. Like, I had the biggest crush on him. He's also like older. He's like in his 50s.
I'm so sorry. The lawyer or the murderer?
The lawyer.
Okay, cool.
And so his Daddy. Name is David Rudolph, and I've just been like into him for years now.
Yeah.
So I have a David Rudolph update from a reader.
Oh my God.
says, Lara, my queen, I don't know if you'll be interested in this information, but I thought I'd share. Today, my husband flew from Charlotte to Salt Lake City for work, and David Rudolph was on his flight. He took the attached pic. No clue where David was going, but my husband said he was looking great, better than in the pic, and that he was the but it was the only one he could get without being noticed. Also, my husband heard a flight attendant tell David thanks for being a Delta Diamond Medallion member, which is the highest status the person can get with Delta. I guess the speaking circuit he's on keeps him traveling all the time. Love and light.
Okay, first of all, I love like a humble, like of the people queen.
Yeah.
Like he's flying just like a normal person.
Yeah, he's just flying. I think it looks like a first class cabin.
Yeah.
But not like too chiqued out, like he's wow. just like in it.
It's yeah. amazing.
It's great. Thank you for that update. I saved yeah. I saved the picture to my desktop.
And what makes gonna... him so hot? Like what's his like hotness?
He just has like a he has a lot of confidence and kind of this swagger as an attorney.
Mm.
And he just is like very, he's charming and engaging
yeah.
and like precise in like what he wants. There's like a scene where he yells at someone about like his PowerPoint presentation that he's supposed to make and he's like practicing for the next day in court. And it truly like I get hot thinking about it right now. I never knew that like PowerPoints could get me close to like climax, but when
oh my God.
You put David and Rudolph in a PowerPoint presentation together and I'm just like, it's over.
Is it like, I mean, not to like completely simplify it, but is it like daddy vibes?
Yeah.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah. Total daddy energy. Yes. For
is
sure.
Is he married? Like what's mm-hmm. his sitch? Okay.
He married someone that he met while doing this trial and you see them meet on the documentary and she, I think, was a reporter at the time and she's interviewing him and you can tell there's just raw sexual chemistry
oh
between
my God.
Them. Like you see them basically like eye fucking each other while they're talking to each other and
oh
then they
God.
Ended up together. I think they have a kid together.
That's like beautiful.
I know. It's a really, it's a love story of our time.
God. So you love him from afar. It's kind
I love
of just
him
like,
from afar. I'm not yeah. trying to like fuck with anyone.
Or yeah.
anything. I just appreciate and I hope that there are more hot. I would love to like find
yeah.
a David Rudolph.
You're not, you don't want to break up
own.
A family. You're not, you're not
I
a family
have no urge
breaker.
To like ruin yeah. a family or a child's life.
But if it happens.
But if it organic, it happens. I mean, I'm just saying. If,
yeah.
there was a if his wife and him were having problems and they were separated,
it's not your fault.
If someone had filed for divorce really recently,
yeah,
I would totally slip in there.
If his like wife went missing, like who, like
it would
that's
be
not
a tragedy
your fault.
And I could be a shoulder to cry on,
yeah, and be a stepmom.
Yeah, I would thrive in stepmotherhood.
I fantasize about being a stepmom.
Wouldn't that be the best
Ugh.
Possible situation that you could be in?
First of all, the movie masterpiece.
Yeah.
But yeah, like literally I fantasize about, you know, when you're like, oh, like, honey, can you get mommy her, like, can you get mommy her pills? You know, mm-hmm. like that kind of vibe, like you're by the pool.
Yeah.
And you're just like, you're just living your life.
I'd be like really fun to hang out with.
Yeah. Shopping
can do that very easily. I think I could give really good life advice.
Yes.
I also would be disconnected enough to be like, it's not my kid, so like
yes.
you guys deal with all the hard parts
yeah.
and like I'll be here but I'll also support what you guys do. Like I could be a good friend,
the most I could do is like if my stepkid was like, oh, I'm getting bullied at school, like I would have that conversation.
Yeah,
that's like, but that's the top.
Mm-hmm.
That's as much as involved as I could get.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. I would go
yeah.
I would like throw down on behalf of my
yeah.
kid.
Yeah.
I'd talk to some teachers or go pull a kid aside.
I would do that, but
yeah.
but not much more.
You didn't.
Yeah.
You wouldn't need to.
I didn't
birth
that kid.
It's not your kid.
It's
You're not their
kid.
Parent. You're
yeah.
just kind of like a little sprinkling of spice.
Yeah.
And should be like enhancing their lives in like a fun, cute, flirty way.
We both love the same person, your dad.
Yeah.
That's basically it.
Let's go see a movie together.
Absolutely.
Let's go shop.
And get my pills.
Mm-hmm.
Like, please get my pills.
Go get that bottle that says Vyvanse.
Yes.
Just bring it to me.
Mommy needs her vibes.
I need my Vyvanse.
Mommy needs the vibes.
Hi, Lara, and hopefully Ed. It's not Ed.
Oh,
it's Nori,
my God.
So
I'm so
off.
Sorry. I apologize.
After receiving no respect from my coworkers today after I told them about my troubling night, I thought I would turn to my favorite candle connoisseurs to get some reassurance. This past weekend, I accompanied my friend to the Diptyque store here in Chicago and got my second candle from them. I had no intentions on buying the second candle while I was there since I had just bought musk a couple weeks prior. After I sniffed, I huffed and puffed that feu de bois. I just couldn't resist handing over my credit card to the fashionable redhead behind the counter. Now that I had my hands on a second Diptyque, I was just itching to light one of them, and it's all I could think about for several days. Last night around 8 p.m., I took a bath. Typically when I do this, I like to make it full drama, bubbles, bath salts, no lights, sad music, red wine, and of course, a candle. I was really looking forward to starting off my night with a sensual bath paired with the sensual scent of my new Diptyque, but after a lot of reflection, I felt like I needed to leave my new purchase in the living room and accompany my bath with a free garbage candle I got at a work event. I can't have the scent of my Diptyque wasted and overpowered by my $5 bottle of Dr. Teal's foaming bath solution. If there's anything you need to know about me, it's that I love a bath and I love a good candle, and last night I deserved both.
Yeah.
So around 8:30 p.m., when I finished this bath, I set the mood to light my musk candle. I turned off the lights. I turned on the TV. I cover myself in my weighted blanket, and I watch the small white flame engulf that braided white wick. Employees at a Diptyque storefront will be quick to tell you that this is a polarizing scent and definitely not for everyone. I'm here to make it clear that this scent is definitely for me. It made me gasp and it made me moan. It transported me to new places I never dreamed of and uncovered memories of events that I'll never, ever happen to me. Don't even get me started on the throw with this candle. I swear I could have all the windows open in my apartment with 100 fans blowing, and I would still be able to smell that sweet, dusty musk from across the hall. It was incredible. I've never felt safer. Being an avid listener of your podcast and paying close attention to every detail from hauling ass, I know the importance of the first light, and I personally know the troubles of tunneling wax.
Yeah.
Because it was 8:30 p.m., I figured I'd be fine to light this candle for 3 hours. I assumed the liquid wax would be touching the outer glass perimeter by 11:30, and I would be in bed shortly after. How mistaken I was. 11:30 p.m. hits, and the candle still has half an inch of solid wax standing upright around the edge. I started panicking because I'm tired and I want to go to bed, and my show just ended. What's a boy to do when he needs to sleep but needs to protect his candle? Decided to suck it up and watch another hour of TV to let all the wax melt. 12:30 a.m. eventually arrives and the candle has barely made any progress. At this point, I'm exhausted and I feel defeated. The only thing keeping me awake at this time is the deep fear that I will have to blow out my candle and disfigure my Diptyque for the rest of its sweet, sweet life. Sleep was a necessity at this point, so I decide to set an alarm for 1:30 a.m. to wake up and blow out my candle. Once I get to bed, I'm overcome with panic. Being too nervous to fall asleep, I toss and turn for an hour, just praying that my candle will melt all the way to the edge. 1:30 arrives way too soon, and I still have an eighth of an inch of solid wax around the perimeter. Feeling bold, I said, fuck it, blew out the candle, and went to bed knowing exactly what I had just done. I've always fantasized about being a parent someday, eventually hauling my infant and a baby Bjorn through Lincoln Park or grilling unseasoned cage-free chicken for my little French bulldog. Taking care of this Diptyque last night, my own little baby, I came to finally accept the fact that maybe I'm not quite ready to be a parent. This candle is already costing me too much sleep. When my coworkers talk about their infants keeping them up at night, they get a lot of compassionate commiseration from my peers. But when I brought up my unsafe and sleepless night, I didn't get any sympathy. They just don't get it. Anyway, I hope you can understand my struggles a little bit. I need some support during these unsafe times. I sit here writing this email with my candle lit, woefully wondering if that outer ring of $72 wax after taxes will ever melt. I look forward to meeting you and Carrie when you come to Chicago in March. Good sense, make good sense. Wow.
Wow.
I get it completely. And I feel your struggle 100%.
Yeah. Deep sympathy.
Deep sympathy, deep condolences. Empathy. I, too, have stressed stayed awake to wait for a candle to just burn out to the edge.
Yeah.
And then in that state of like stress staying awake, I just fell asleep and then awoke like 3 hours later. The candle had burned to the edge, but it had burned much more of the candle than I wanted it to.
Oh my God.
Then it's just like you deal with a loss of a candle burning that you weren't even awake to enjoy.
Yeah.
So there really is no good plan.
This was a beautiful, beautiful tale.
And yeah.
Some favorite parts for me though was the redhead.
The redhead.
Just the mention we needed to know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that he told us.
Yeah, I am, you know? Too.
Yeah.
I think you should next time just light it for the bath. Give yourself that gift.
Yeah.
I feel unsafe now at a point where I don't even want garbage candles around. If I don't like the candle, no. I won't even be keeping it for a bathroom candle.
Absolutely.
It's like only candles I like only. And yeah. Then in moments of true me, a good one needs to be lit.
Yeah.
And you need to give yourself that gift and trust that you're worth it.
Can I get some candle sympathy really quick?
Yeah.
So the people that I'm staying with, the Amazon people,
mm-hmm.
I got them a Diptyque candle.
That's beautiful.
When I arrived, I was like, thank you so much. You're so amazing. Here's, you know, when I moved in, because that's whenever I just visited, when I moved into the place for the month, nowhere to be seen. What did they do?
Did Where they re-gift it? Your Diptyque?
I think they fucking re-gifted.
What scent did you get them?
Listen, they were out of, okay, her favorite is the berries.
Okay, Bies.
Thank you so
hey,
much.
Hey, guess what? That's a
it
regular.
It was out.
Oh, okay.
So then I was like, okay, fig.
Yeah, that's a great scent.
Repackaged. It's gone. It's not even there.
Can you ask? Are you close enough to be able to be like, hey, where's that Diptyque?
I can't. Okay. That feels too scary, but I did search the entire apartment from top to bottom.
And there's nowhere to be
found.
I
went into drawers.
They fully did regift it.
It's gone.
Whoa.
And I was just like, okay, was this like not good enough? I'm like, it's like
nice. That's a
nice.
Weird move.
Yeah. So that's my story. That's my sympathy story. But
I have the utmost sympathy.
Thank you.
Because that's a thing. It's one thing if you got them like a $20 candle and they just like weren't into it and then get regifted it.
No.
But if you're going anywhere above, I'd say $40 to $50.
Higher.
If you don't like that candle, give it back to the person that
Please.
Gave it to you.
Yeah. I would love it.
I would love. Yeah, yeah. I would gladly take a fig candle.
Gone.
I would take actually any Diptyque.
Yeah.
Like I have no qualms.
The musk sounds amazing. I've never smelled it,
good.
But
I haven't smelled it either.
It sounds hot and sexy.
Yeah, I just got this one, Paris and Fleur, limited edition.
Oh, that's like that's
it's
divine.
Powdery,
it's divine.
Flowery explosion.
Oh my God, this is amazing.
It's a really good one, right?
I can't stop smelling it because it's just so floral and gorgeous and.
I came home and Ooh, lit it first thing.
It's romantic.
Yeah. And now my fetish is kind of just like getting a new candle and then lighting it and letting it burn like once. And then I feel an immediate need to get a new candle and light it that virginal burn.
Absolutely.
I'm really obsessed with that. So now I'm almost getting to like an Ed level of candle addiction, but I've got to pull back on the reins before things get a little too out of control.
I think the reason why I like you and Ed so much already so quickly is I feel like you're both very home focused people.
Mm-hmm.
And I am a Cancer, and I just that's home is like the most important thing.
Your surroundings.
Yeah. Like I love how much, you know, Ed like just like being in his home, like it's like again, just such a gorgeous
a cozy vibe.
Warm like vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm all about coziness as well.
Mm.
And just trying to be like cozy, comfy,
yeah,
and cute in my own house.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for being on this podcast.
Oh my God, it has been a pleasure. I can't wait for your listeners to hear all of my political opinions as if they mean anything.
I'm really scared.
I'm
too,
no one,
because I truly am just like in my head to myself, I'm like, you're an idiot. You're an idiot. Shut up. Stop talking.
Yeah.
But then I feel like I got to just like bust through and say my truth. And it doesn't matter if you're like, I'm living and learning.
Yeah. I truly,
but I don't want to be talked down to by any libtard. So no. If you're listening and that feels like mm-mm. you, save it.
Save it, Snowflake. Also, I mean, I feel like I brought my rawest, most vulnerable cough self today. Mm-hmm. And if that's so terrible, sue me.
Yeah. No, sue me. I think it's great because it taught me about the new porn that I will be watching yeah. and potentially trying to start like my own business around.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I want to do porn where no clothes come off and it really candles. Is just like, yeah, candles. Sniffing candles and lighting them and talking about them.
Yes. That has to be another porn.
I would be willing to do like a one shoulder exposed in a sweater, like candle yeah. sniff and describe.
Yeah. Like and by accident. Like yeah. you didn't even know. You're like, oh,
and be
uh-oh.
Like, oh my God.
Oh no.
That's silly.
Yeah.
And then go back to being fully clothed.
Yeah.
Also, it would be nice to just be able to do it like no makeup and just like whatever and then yeah. get paid Venmo'd immediately for my services.
I think we're on to something. I think so we too. Should run for office.
Mm-hmm.
I think we
on
are...
a double, just as like a double.
Yeah. Double president.
Yeah. Double.
There's
president.
No vice here.
There's no vice. Uh-uh. We would eventually get a vice.
Yeah.
But, like it would just be two.
Yeah.
Two for the price of one, which is a good deal. You know, we're all about deals
I love
on this
it.
Podcast. Tell everyone where they can find you.
Oh, my God.
Plug yourself.
I live on Instagram. It's Nori Reed, N-O-R-I-R-E-E-D. I have shows all the time in LA, so come to a show.
Yeah, you're constantly performing.
Thank you.
It's amazing.
On and off stage.
Yeah.
Just constantly
life
a
is
fake
a cabaret.
Bitch, my friend. So, yeah, check me out. Come to a show. And thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. We're going to do a bonus episode. If you want to hear it, you can go to patreon.com/babepodcast. Sign up for $5 a month. You get weekly boni.
What?
That's my plural of bonus.
That's amazing.
And yeah, you can hear us talk more.
About there. Bernie Sanders.
About Bernie Sanders there. And with that.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.